You can be seated. Our primary scripture lessons this morning, I should say, looking at a few others as well, but Deuteronomy chapter 26, 1 through 11, and also Psalm 126, verse 6. We'll be looking at both of those as we think about harvest festivals and Thanksgiving and this time of year and the traditions and family and gathered together and remembering those kinds of things that help us know where we've been and where we're going. I think that these scriptures are right at the heart of it all. Of course, at Thanksgiving time, you know, we do things to express our gratitude to one another and to our family. And it goes back, of course, to the pilgrims, right? They'd gone through a very difficult winter. A lot of people had died, but then the next summer they had a bountiful crop, and so they gathered at that time during November to give thanks to God for bringing them through. In a very similar way, it's almost that like this was passed along to us. Because if you read in the Old Testament, particularly children of Israel and their deliverance out of bondage in Egypt and all that they went through, there was a festival that they have that you can read about throughout, in Deuteronomy and in some of Genesis. And it's referred to in Psalms and other places as well. It's called the Festival of Booths. It's actually called Sukkoth, which is the Hebrew word, but it's Festival of Booths. And so when we think about booths, you know, B-O-O-T-H-S, I mean, you know, I don't know what mind comes up to you, what that conjures up, but to me it's not tents, right? We're thinking about voting booths, or, you know, you go to a fair and they have different booths, but it's a way of referring to tents, and that they are remembered and instructed to, as a part of this festival, to spend 7 days in tents to remember that at one point they were wandering around in the desert and living in tents as God had called them out of Egypt and led them out of Egypt, delivered them out of Egypt, and moved them to the promised land in Israel. And so as a way of doing that, and also of offering first fruits, you know, they're commanded to offer first fruits, and there's some tradition and ritual that goes along with that. And it's interesting how much it can remind you of some of the things that we do and some of the things I hope we never forget and lose from Thanksgiving. So let me read these couple of scriptures to you, and then we'll talk about them. So Psalm 26, and this is instruction from God. And he says, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, 'Today I declare to the Lord, that your God, that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us.' And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of your Lord, your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: 'A wandering Armenian was my ancestor, and he went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And with the Egyptians treated us harshly, and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us. We cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into the place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levite and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Something there of thanksgiving, right? Origins there. And then Psalm 126, 6. He says, may those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying the sheaves. Carrying the sheaves. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. So, when I was a little boy, growing up in the Methodist church where I did, we had two hymn books. I don't know about you guys, if you grew up Methodist, we had two hymn books. One we used on Sunday morning, and one that we used on Sunday night. How many of y'all remember the little Cokesbury hymnal? Lots of great songs in there. And we always looked forward to Sunday nights and singing some songs that were a little bit, you know, less formal and fun to sing, and had great messages as well. And one of them that I specifically remember goes like this. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You know it, sing. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, that was good. And the choir, the harmony, awesome. So great. And so, I grew up singing that song, but I will have to tell you that for years, I didn't know what sheaves were to begin with. I thought he was saying sleeves, bringing in the sleeves. I thought it was about some tailor, you know, I didn't quite understand, but I loved singing it. But some point along the line, I learned what sheaves were. And most of you probably know what sheaves are, but you know, the practice was and back there and in the ancient biblical times, and as well as it is in certain parts of the world even today, that when grain is reaped, that the harvester will go through with a sickle or whatever and harvest, cut down the grain, and the people, sometimes children and women and other people, will go behind them and gather that and then bundle it together, and those were called sheaves. Sheaves. Sometimes those sheaves are carried in by hand. Sometimes they're put on a donkey's back or on a cart or something. But that bringing in the sheaves, and they're powerful images throughout the Old Testament with this reverence. Well, that's hard. Reverence. It's referring to. Okay. To sheaves. Remember Joseph? Remember the guy with the multicolored coat, and he had a bunch of brothers, and Joseph wasn't real popular with his brother because of things like this. He had this dream, and he told his brothers. Why he felt like he needed to tell his brothers, I don't know. But he said, I had this dream last night, and it was that, there were all these sheaves, these grains of wheat, and one, rose up higher than the other, and that was me. And all the other sheaves were bowing down to me. Well, his brothers hated him, and as you can imagine, and they actually sold him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt, and really, that's how the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, that's how they got in Egypt, And at first, it was okay, because the Pharaoh liked Joseph, all right, but then it led to a time of hardship and bondage. And so, that's one way in which the sheaf was used. You also see in Deuteronomy where this is kind of written into their law, and you see that, you see these themes as you read the Bible, that God is always looking out for the poor, for those who are outcast on the fringes, the least, the last, and the lost, that God is always looking out for them and tries to write it into our hearts and into our laws. And so God said to them as law, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it, but leave it for the foreigner. The alien that came in, traveling from place to place. Leave it for the fatherless, the orphans. leave it for the widows. Because see, those people, they had no provision in society except for the kindness and sharing of those around them. And so God, realizing human nature, wrote that in there so that we might just for ourselves be able to recognize the joy that comes from sharing and joy that comes from kindness. And you see that several stories of that, but Ruth and Naomi, you know, the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, and we don't have time to go in today if you don't, but look it up. It's a beautiful story of God's love and God's caring for, you know, there's kind of an overarching story of a metaphor that story is. It's for all of us, but there's also just the beautiful personal story that it is of, and how it starts is Ruth and Naomi, who were there in this foreign land, were gathered, and there is as a widow, both of them. They're there and they're gathering those sheaves, those leftover in the land from Boaz, who was very wealthy and owned the field. And that's how they met. And what emerges is a beautiful story. There's Psalm 126, 6. I love that verse. That's one of the ones I read to you earlier. But it talks about sowing in tears, reaping with shouts of joy. That we might go out weeping as we're sowing seeds. You know, we want to see God in it, but it's tough and it's hard. But one day, by God's grace and through our faith, we will realize that we'll go out with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. That there may not be much going on in your life, and it may be hard to trace God's hand right now, but you have to trust His heart. That God is at work in this world. The meaning is clear, you know, in the little hymn that I read to you. You know, that we're supposed to sow seeds of kindness. To do kind deeds when times are good and to do kind deeds when times are bad. And so eventually we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So, I explained to you a little bit about the Festival of Booths, or you can call it Festival of Tents, if that helped you. This harvest festival that they do in the Jewish faith, and it still goes on to some degree, you know, where, you know, in the original time, they would go and they would live in tents for a week, and they would have other ceremonies that they did. And the reason was to never forget where they had come from. You know, we have to remember our origin and how God has been a part of the bigger story, so that when we get on the other side of heartache and trouble, we can see God at work. Excuse me. Patrick's hot on the cough button today. We might get it a couple more times. I've been talking a lot this morning. I'm about out of voice, but we'll get there in a second. So anyway, the children of Israel definitely have a story of God's grace, but it was a long story. I mean, it was a long game of being in bondage for all those years and then being delivered out, and it had taken 40 years to get to this promised land. 40 years, can you imagine? Seems like forever. It took them 40 years to get there. And so once they got there, God wanted them to remember this journey and never forget who they were. And so there's certain festivals and feasts that they have throughout the year that tell the story. We've talked before about Passover, and there's Hanukkah, and there's all of those. And this Festival of Booths was very important because it would remind them of God's providence with them, particularly in harvest time. And so that's important for us because we're of the Judeo-Christian kind of heritage there. But also it's important for us as we look at Thanksgiving to remember where we come. And just as those traditions for the Jewish folks help remember, you know, we have traditions as well. What are your traditions that you might have around your family? I'm guessing most people will go around and talk about what they're thankful or grateful for. Maybe that's in letter writing. You know, certainly there's a kind of food that goes in it. But there's certain traditions that we do at families, and maybe it's just our own family traditions that just kind of reminds us of something or somebody as we experience Thanksgiving. There's a tradition that I've heard about, maybe that you have heard about for Thanksgiving, and it goes back all the way to 1621. To 1621, that first Thanksgiving. They began this tradition, whereas they remember that, you know, just the year before, they had gotten down. Can you imagine? They were so hungry, and supplies had gotten down as they went through that brutal winter. So many of them died. But they got down to, as they distributed what they had, they only had 5 grains of corn apiece. That was it. That was the ration. 5 grains of corn. Can you imagine? That's what they had. And so later on, a ship came in, and they were able to trade all their fur pelts that they had collected for corn, which is another sermon for another day. But think about that image. You know, we think about fur pelts. We think that would be, you know, way more valuable than corn. But we need our daily bread. We need our sustenance. God will provide for us. And so from that time on, and some people still do it today, and I'm thinking we might do this, Teresa, this week, is to place 5 kernels of corn on the plate. And take just the time to remember 5 things that you are grateful for in the past year that you've been thinking about. Thanksgiving dinner plate is a way to remember God's past goodness during a hard time. And so I just very want to quickly give you 5 things that I'm thankful for. And maybe they'll remind you of things in your life. But just to share with you a little bit from my heart of things that I am very grateful for this year. First of all, I am thankful for my family. I am. You should say, well, that should go without saying, but I really am. I truly am. You know, my parents have been gone a few years now. But it seems like recently I think about them more and miss them more. But I am just unbelievably grateful for all that they gave me and guided me in, that I have a little bit of their DNA. And as I get older and I begin to see see them in myself and my actions and my words, and particularly the good ways in which I manifest this, I'm very grateful for them. They're a wonderful couple. I'm grateful, you know, for all my brothers and sisters. And, you know, one of the things that my parents led us through is we lost my little brother when he was very young, and we lost my sister when she was an adult, but way too young. And just their gracious in the way that they grieved, and the support and comfort they gave to us through that time. Just a great gift to us. So now, you know, it's me and my, you know, just in my original family, just me and my brother and sister. And I love them, and I'm grateful for them. And then I'm very grateful for my nuclear family as well. My wife and my 2 children. And this year finds us here in 2017. My daughter has just celebrated her 1-year anniversary, and she's very happy, and she and Alex are doing great. She has a new job, and she's excited about that. And so, you know, not every year you can come and say, my kids are doing real well, and they're all really happy. But this year, I will tell you, my kids are doing well, and they're all really happy. My son moved to Asheville this year. He's got a job with the Biltmore House. He's a chef there. Great job for a great company. And he's doing really well. I haven't seen him this happy in years. And he has a young lady in his life that he is crazy about, and she is really good for him. And so we're very grateful for our kids. And my lovely wife, and my beautiful mother-in-law, who's there with her too as well. But my beautiful wife, tomorrow is our anniversary, 35 years. Can you imagine being married to me for 35 years? All that she has put up with. But, you know, we've had a great adventure, you know, and there have been good years and they've been bad years. And I'm thankful for that and thankful for the journey. And know that the best is yet to come, honey. I am thankful for my country. That's another thing everybody says. But, you know, I want to tell you, the older I get, the more I am appreciative of our country and appreciate the men and women who fought for our freedoms and gave their lives for our freedoms, continue to serve and fight for our freedoms. And for all that our country is, this miracle that is our Constitution. I mean, it's just amazing that we have this document that has held such diverse people together. And we don't need to ever take that for granted. You know, I think about myself, where I'm at. Yeah. And this is a time where our country is very deeply divided. And that concerns me. But then, you know, within the midst of that, the very freedoms that we have to express our differences and to differences with our leaders, whatever side you're on, that comes from the freedoms that were bled and died for, that were given to us and that were written down in that document. And I have friends that are very, very liberal. I have friends that are very, very conservative. I love them both. They enhance my life both. I'd love to get them to the table. And sometimes that's difficult in the climate that we are. But, you know, I think we all can have an appreciation that it's the freedoms that are given and outlined in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution that allows us to have these kind of differences to begin with, and to never take that granted, and know that somehow or another, that we're going to do the right thing. I am thankful for my health. Those of you who may be new or somehow or another asleep last year about this time, I had hip surgery, and this is the week. I'm coming up on my year anniversary of my hip surgery. You know, I don't know. I think I'm walking better now. But, you know, it used to be a struggle to come up these stairs every week. And I didn't want to admit it because I'm a male who, you know, is stubborn and, you know, full of himself and all that. But, it causes other things in your body to go kind of askew when you've got this thing hurting. So it's taken me a while, but I will tell you, I feel the best, and I think I'm in the best health, except for this cold I can't get rid of, in years. And so I'm very thankful for that, for all that I've been blessed with there. I am thankful for God's grace. I am thankful for God's grace. It is so amazing, and it comes to us in so many ways. You know, the grace that really was first there for me to bring me into relationship with Jesus Christ and into the church. And you know, that grace that sort of worked with me and forgave me and pushed me all through my life to bring me to this place. And how I see God's grace everywhere I look, God is at work. And you know, and I pray for deeper, clearer eyes to see God's grace at work. The last thing I'd like to share is I am thankful for my calling. I am thankful for my calling. I never wanted to be a preacher. I never did. That was not what I was planning on when I was a kid and teenager and even young adult. But God called me. But God called me. I've heard it say that you become a preacher when you can't do anything else. And it's not because you can't do anything else. It's just you really can't do anything else. And there are times, and probably even still days, when I don't particularly like my calling, when it's not particularly fun being the preacher. But most days, and as I look back at my life, I am very grateful that God has called me the way that He has. And I hope that that's something that you look at, because we're all called as believers of Christ to ministry. Not necessarily to go to seminary and become an ordained clergy, but to find your place and what God has wired you up to do. And so I am thankful. I'm thankful that He called me within the Methodist Church. I am. I'm thankful for our church. I know that we're having our struggles right now, and I pray for our denomination, for our tribe as Methodist. But I'm thankful that historically that we have come down on the side of grace. You know, if there's grace and law, we are about grace here. And this world so much needs God's grace. So I'm so thankful that we have that at the root of our tradition, that implanted with us, and also in our tradition is this sort of evangelical fervor, but also this understanding and holding in balance of social justice. Yes, we're evangelical, and we want to win souls for Jesus Christ, but we also are about making, you know, a society right, and about the social justice that goes on with that. We're both those things. It doesn't have to be either or. You know, as you look out, a lot of denominations, a lot of churches, they really go either or. Not us. We are both and. And I'm grateful for that. I'm very thankful for our tribe, United Methodist, and I'm thankful for every church that I've had the privilege to serve, you know, over the years. Every place that I've been, I have seen seen God at work. And, you know, God works through the itinerancy, and he brought me here. And for that, I am grateful. And God is alive, and the Holy Spirit is working Conyers First Methodist. And I am grateful and thankful for that. So those were five things with a lot of subcategories. But I share mine, and I'd like to encourage you and ask you, what are your five kernels this year? What are your five kernels this year? What are those five corners? You know, and maybe some of it is a work in progress. Maybe some of it is like Psalm 126, that you're sowing in tears, reaping with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bury the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. So I came into the church this morning, and I didn't know he was going to do this. David Farmer came in, and he gave me one single pecan. He didn't say anything about it. He just gave me one single pecan. We hadn't even talked about this. I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant, because if there's any one person in this church who I spent a lot of time with lately, kind of commiserating and looking at things and sort of agonizing over some decisions that's made, it's been David. David and I have prayed and cried and worked hard together, and that's part of what our meeting's going to be about. But we're sowing seeds. And out, I mean, I have to say, you know, out of the acorn comes a mighty oak. Out of the pecan tree becomes pecan tree. The pecan nut comes pecan trees with delicious, delicious nuts. But you get the point, you know, that we're sowing seeds now. And some of the seeds that you're sowing now may be seeds that are sown in sorrow. I know, I mean, I look around this room. I mean, there are folks that have been from losing their husband and father to facing a liver transplant, losing other family members, you know, health concerns, relationships concerns. I know it's a struggle. And God is, you may be sowing in tears. God may be sowing in you in tears. But by faith we know that we'll go out with joy, that it's not over, that God is at work in it all in ways that we can't even see. And sometimes it takes years down the road to where we can look back and see. Any of y'all ever been to Enterprise, Alabama? Anybody ever seen? Okay, now tell me what's in Enterprise, Alabama. There's, right, exactly. Yeah, so you know about this story. Some of y'all do. If you don't, you know, in Enterprise, Alabama, they have a very unusual thing. They have a monument to the boll weevil. You know, Enterprise, Alabama is not that far. You know, you should go through there because it's a testimony of God's grace and perseverance. So they were really big into King Cotton back then, you know, and that was, their economy was good and things were rolling around, and they, you know, they, all of their entire, you know, town and economy and job structure and everything was based on cotton. And then the boll weevil came, and it wiped them out, and it was beyond depression there. What are they going to do? And so they had to diversify their crops. And they discovered a little thing called, not the pecan, but the peanut. And lo and behold, things got even more prosperous. And it was even a greater time. Who would have known? Can you imagine how horrified they were when this you know, this image, their whole worldview was built around the fact that we do cotton, and that's gone. You know, there's illustrations here I hope you see for the church as well. That method is gone. It's dead. What are they going to do? And God makes a way. And here comes the peanut, and things got even better. And so, you know, they decided they needed to build a monument to the boll weevil, because if it hadn't have been for the boll weevil, they would have never discovered this new prosperity. And so it's written, the inscription says, in profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise County, Alabama. Out of a time of struggle and crisis, he had come new growth and new success. out of adversity had come blessing. And Steve, we love you, brother. We understand. Can't sit with that Bible. We thank you for being here. Let's pray for Steve. Now, farmers will tell you that different crops have different rates of growth. Different rates of growth. Some take longer and bear fruit later than others. But no matter how long it takes, God is in the business of bringing in the sheaves through the healing and restoring work of Jesus Christ. And God is going to bring in the sheaves through Conyers First United Methodist Church. As we close today, I want to give you an invitation. I'm going to ask Cindy and John if they will begin playing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. That's a little chorus we sing from time to time. I think most of you probably even know it by memory, but the words are printed in your bulletin. But as they play just instrumentally, if you would like to come to the altar and to kneel and give thanks and begin to work on those things, those places of gratitude that you have for God, I invite you to do so during this time. You know, some of you, your situation where you want to make the pew your altar and you want to stay where you are, and that's fine, I understand. But for those of you who would like to come to the altar and to give thanks, to be grateful, and to know that through the grace of God, that the weak will be strong and the poor will be rich, and God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace. Have a blessed Thanksgiving, and we'll see you back next Sunday. Amen.